Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the 77s of Gabriel. This is about the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel, recorded in your Bible in Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27. We were talking about Daniel's prayer last time and how it was answered immediately, but then I wanted to stop and talk a little bit about Gabriel for the momentous word that is about to come forth. God chooses none other than Gabriel. He's called in verse 21 the man Gabriel. He appeared in human form, perhaps to help calm the nerves of an old man who is overwhelmed by what he is seeing and hearing. Or perhaps there's more to Daniel's description. The name Gabriel means in the Hebrew man of God. The man of God, appeared to Daniel. As the text says, this same Daniel had appeared in a vision recorded in Daniel 8, this same Gabriel. Let's look at Gabriel in chapter 8. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, standing before me was one who looked like a man, and I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Ule. And he called and said, Gabriel, give this man understanding. So Gabriel at that time gives Daniel an account of what will occur at the appointed time of the end. He traces the career of Alexander the Great and the four-part division of his legacy. He then travels to the very end of history, when one of these divisions will produce the one we know to be Antichrist. The scope of this prophecy caused Daniel to be sick in body and mind for days. But the prophecy to come at the end of chapter 9 is no less astounding in its span. It too begins in Daniel's day and ends at the climax of human history preceding the coming of Christ, the ruin of Antichrist. Then there's Gabriel in chapters 10 to 12. 2 years have passed since Cyrus and Darius have come to power in Medo-Persia. The decree to return, which is foretold in chapter 9, has been in effect during that time, but prophetic utterances continue to follow Daniel. Daniel sees one described in verses 5 and 6 that resembles descriptions of Jesus elsewhere. But when a hand touches the weakened prophet, in verse 10, there's a familiarity that comes to mind. And when Daniel turns to see him, he beholds one who resembled a human being. This is how Gabriel had earlier been identified. The, quote, man of God has returned. Verse 18 repeats that the touch comes from, quote, one with human appearance. There follows the most incredibly accurate prophecy of all time. And for the third time in a row, Gabriel begins in the Persia where Daniel lives, traces the history of the world through Persia and Greece, and suddenly catapults the wandering prophet into the last days, the days of the great tribulation at the end of history. There's a pattern here. Well, this Gabriel's not finished prophesying. Look, we can go into the New Testament and find him. Angels, by the way, are not subject to death, as they are not involved in sin. The same Gabriel who knew Daniel centuries before Christ visits three persons in connection with the birth of Jesus. In Luke 1:11 to 20, an angel of the Lord appears to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And you remember the conversation of the two, culminating in the aged man being struck dumb for a season. This was a powerful angel who demanded to be believed. He identifies himself as Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Some have identified this powerful angel as the angel of the Lord, spoken of often in Scripture. Later in Luke 1, Gabriel appears to Mary. And in Matthew 1, we can infer, I believe, that the unnamed angel who appeared to Joseph was that same man of God that Daniel saw. Now, the connection, what's the connection? Gabriel is connected to a string of very Jewish events. Now, I know Michael is said to be the angel assigned to the headship of the Jewish people. But Gabriel's role is significant. Is he over all the works of the Lord, thus the angel of the Lord? He knows so much. He's authoritative without measure. His prophecies tie together the coming of Messiah and all its attendant challenges. He speaks of the Antichrist as well as the Christ, a clear picture of the origins, program, intentions of the man of sin is outlined for us. He tells of the death of Jesus in Daniel, but prophesies his birth in the Gospels. And recall, these prophecies are not the utterings of Daniel or Luke. They're the recorded messages of an angel of God, and perhaps the angel of God. Now it's time to zero in on one of these words from Gabriel, commonly called the 70 weeks. We'll refer to it as the Hebrew does, the 70 sevens, the prophecy. We begin. We've seen that the chapter 9 words of the angel are not unique in their content. This prediction meshes with other prophecies given to Daniel and to John in Revelation. The wording, moreover, is consistent with the prayer Daniel offered before its delivery to the prophet. Further, as we saw above in the case of Ezra, prayers of the sort that produced this unusual outcome are not singular in Scripture. There's even another prophet who dealt with the return of Israel to its place. It was interesting for me to note in my recent reading of Zechariah that God's word provides yet another parallel. I still want to wait before we not go into the prophecy exactly yet. Another parallel to the events of Daniel 9. It takes place closely related to Daniel's vision just after the end of the 70 years of Judah's punishment. It's right after. We were right before right now. Well, Daniel's chapter 9 prophecy is in the first year of Median King Darius. Zacharias's is in the second year. An angel called the angel of the Lord, wouldn't this be Gabriel, speaks with Zechariah concerning God's jealousy for Jerusalem and God's plan to return to that city and to comfort it, choose it, bring it back from its scattered, disheveled condition. And so, the subject of the final verses of Daniel 9 is indeed a well-known one scripturally. Let's now examine it. How are we going to do that? Here's my approach to a detailed look at Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27. I'm quoting, for your edification, five separate accounts of the prophecy. First, from the Westminster Leningrad Codex Interlinear. And this version will go word for word from the actual Hebrew to English in the most trusted of the Hebrew translations. It will be in English, but I'm telling you, it's directly from Hebrew in an interlinear version, very authoritative. And then, of course, the King James Version. Among Bible believers, this authorized translation from the Textus Receptus is also a seriously trusted version of the Bible. But let's look also at the New King James Version, which updates the English into more modern expressions and corrects some minor problems in the KJV. Then there's the New American Standard Bible that we will use. This and the Bible to follow the English Standard is a word-for-word, as opposed to a thought-for-thought translation, but is based on more ancient texts than the King James or the New King James. And finally, as I said, the English Standard Version. It's also a newer one, but very accurate text. If we're to discover what God actually said through Gabriel, I think it will be helpful to study these Bibles that have endeavored to give to us the literal words of the text. Using these texts and pointing out their similarities and differences, we'll proceed one word or phrase at a time. We'll make comments then as needed. We'll make comparisons to other similar prophecies. And by the end of this work, with prayer and by the grace of God, we shall know exactly what heaven wanted us to hear and to believe. So let's begin. Here are the five translations. Let me just read these. I'll be referring back to them so you don't have to memorize or turn in your Bible to any of these. I'm going to be referring to them later. But here are the translations. Here's the Westminster Leningrad Codex Interlinear. Very difficult for us to understand because it's translittering. It's taking us from Hebrew into a very, very literal word-for-word English. Here it is. Sevens, 70. He is segregated on people of you and on city of holiness of you to detain of the transgression and to seal of and to finish of sin and to make propitiatory shelter of depravity and to bring of righteousness of eons and to seal of vision and prophet and to anoint of holiness of holinesses. And don't be discouraged. I'm telling you, this is very difficult, but you're getting actual words as they would come direct from Hebrew into the English language and in the order of the Hebrew. Verse 25, and you shall know, and you shall be intelligent from faring forth of word to return of and to build of Jerusalem until anointed one governor, sevens, seven, and sevens, 60 and two. She shall return, and she is built square and salient and in constraint of the eras. Verse 26. Hang in there now, just a little more of this. And after the sevens, 60 and two, he shall be cut off, anointed one, and there is no to him. And the city and the sanctuary, he shall ruin people of governor, the one coming, and end of him in the overflowing, and until end, war being decided, ones being desolate. One more verse. And he has mastery, covenant to the many ones, seven, one and half of the seven. He shall cause to cease sacrifice and present offering, and on wing of abominations, one making desolate, and until finish and one being decided, she shall be poured forth on one being desolate. Wow. Did you get all that? Let's try the King James. It's much better. It's not perfectly understandable either in modern ways, but I think it'll remind you, most of you will know what we're talking about when I read here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now the New King James is very, very similar. I won't read it all. Let me just find the differences here. To finish the transgression is to That's the same. I'm sorry. Make it into sin, make it reconcile. It's all the same. Seal up, yeah, to anoint. Okay, verse 24 is almost identical. Verse 25, know therefore and understand from the going forth, yes, to restore until Messiah the Prince shall be, yes, it's all about the same. I think the only differences I found were in 27, and that was not much, where it says on the wing of abomination. That goes back closer to the Hebrew, whereas King James says the overspreading of abominations. I think we'll skip over now to, let's go to the English Standard Version. Just let me read through this whole prophecy one more time. We will not read the New American Standard. It's, again, very similar, but 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Notice the word place has been placed, put in here. And you'll see why later. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with square and moat, but in a troubled time. It says plaza in the New American Standard. Times of distress. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one, and it says Messiah in New American, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a covenant, a strong covenant, with many for 1 week. But for half of the week, now that's different. In all the other versions, it's in the middle of the week, but here it's saying, but for half of the week, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Roughly the same in the New American Standard. There it is. We're going to combine all of that, looking for the words that seem to fit every part of the context of this prophecy, and find out exactly, I hope, exactly what God said. Now you pray and you read along in your Bible, whatever version that is, and we'll try to explain a little bit at a time. We're out of that time right now, and we'll proceed next time to variations in those five translations, along with my comments as we go along. Thank you so much for being here today with me. And I'd hope that you'll have some time to look around the website someday, find great men of God that are there, their stories, their words, other Bible studies like this. We have North Korea audios by the hundreds. We have Quran and Muhammad study. We have prophecy study. Through the Bible study, commentaries on various books. We have books also. You just click on the word store and you'll find over 51 titles that are now available, by the way, free to you, essentially free, for a little bit of a gift so that I can pay for the postage and the equipment. But you just go to where you're at, go to the top of the page and click on gift, then click on the $10 button and the form that comes, fill it out, put your address there, send me that. You don't have to do anything after that. They'll let me know that you have done this, and I will send you a two CD set of all 51 books that I've ever written, and I think that will be a blessing to some. Go to Facebook, go to my timeline, and find out a little bit more about me if you're interested. CriesFromAmongUs.com is the blog where I deal with the cries that rise from the church to the ears of God. And YouTube, type in Bob from Hackberry House, and then Zoom. Men only, send me an email, a testimony, a little of your testimony, and I'll send you back by return email an invitation to our every Saturday meeting, which takes place at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Well, we all want to know the future. I do hope that you will come back to this kind of study, get your mind filled with what God is going to do, things that we know he's going to do. I know there were a lot of predictions about the election, which took place last night, if you're listening in real time today, and all the predictors were wrong, including, we don't know the full results yet, but there were a lot of wrong things said about what was supposed to happen last night. But what I'm telling you from the book of Daniel, it's going to happen. There's no question about it. You can take it to the bank. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.